For those just joining us, we're running about 5 minutes late, having a birthday party for Jesus, and we'll get everybody up here ready to go soon.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's a sea of red out there. I was saying, is next week green? Do we wear green next week? I don't always get the memo, so I just thought I'd check it. All right. Well, good that you're here. I won't even ask who prayed for that white stuff out there. Hey, we waited until, 12th, 13th of December to start, so that's good. As long as it doesn't start making up for it here after a while, right? All right. So we'll sing some... December is Christmas carols, okay? So that's pretty much all we're going to sing. There's enough of them to do all of our songs and closing songs and everything through the month and still have some left over. So we'll try to get at them at least once here. We'll have communion. I don't know. Did you get... Gals and guys, pick up your, maybe somebody could bring in that plate. Somebody didn't, anybody need a communion cup? Okay. Okay, we got door-to-door service here, so. Okay, and we're still using our little plastic cup. I heard of another plan, but maybe we'll try that next month. Okay. All right. So, Mr. Bob, is he around?
He's probably playing in the kitchen.
Okay. Well, sorry. We tried to get you a good song leader. You have to bear up with me. 127. 127. Did thou leave? Thou didst leave thy throne. I can't get the title out. We're in trouble, folks. 127. Let's stand together, okay? You may be seated. If you can find your little communion cup. Okay. There's two different kinds. out there. It's a new brand. I don't know if it opens the same way or not. I cheated. And I stuck a pin down in there and opened it up. Less chance of getting wearing it, you know. That's one reason you wear a tie, so it doesn't dribble down the front of you there. So. Yeah. Dock his pay. All right. Okay, so we're going to look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're reminded of the time in which the Lord Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And we don't always read back to front, but verses further on, he gives a challenge there in 1 Corinthians 11, 28. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup," in other words, partake of these. "And for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And so the Lord does want us to examine our own hearts and lives, that as we partake of these, we do so with a clean heart, best that we know. If there is sin in our hearts and lives, then we need to confess that before we partake of this, lest we bring trouble into our own hearts. But he tells, Paul shares this with the people there in the church at Corinth, and he says there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus that same night in which he was betrayed took bread." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for what it represents, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was nailed upon that cross of Calvary. We thank you that he was willing to die in our place, to be our substitute. Your word tells us that the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die because of our sin, and yet Christ willingly went to the cross to pay that price, to be, again, our substitute. And we thank you for his willingness to do that for us. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. "When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner, he took the cup." So that's a blessing on the cup. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the cup and what it represents, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your word tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness of sin. And yet Jesus Christ's blood is able to cleanse all of us of all of our sin, not automatically, but when we trust him alone as our Savior. He cleanses us and makes us pure in your sight. So we thank you for the shed blood and Christ's willingness to die there on that cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Coming one day soon, folks. Got to be ready. Got to be ready. All right. Let's sing another song. How about 131. 131. Angels from the Realms of Glory, 131. Would you stand with me once again? 131. Sing that song?
Yeah.
Good. Because if you're in California, you are not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to sing out loud. I guess we just all lip sync. Right. Sorry, can't help it. How about we go over to another one here? 10 pages in it, further on in. 141, O Little Town of Bethlehem. How many have been to Bethlehem? One? Two? Two. Okay. Oh, well. Well, at least we've got representatives. Been there. 141.
Thank you.
right, thank you. May be seated. Junior church young people are dismissed. Did want to thank you folks for your prayers for Maureen and her brother Ron and family as we went to Des Moines and had the funeral for her mother. 97 years old. Amazing. She was a great lady. Loved the Lord. Good example to those around about her. And sad to see her go. She was a prayer warrior. And I started out just sending a bulletin and a prayer sheet once in a while. And found out she was praying for you guys. She'd be asking Maureen about different people that were on the list. Well, how's so-and-so? How are they doing, you know? And, man, she's going to pray for us. We're going to send that to her every week. Well, she's not able to do that. So somebody else needs to pick that up. You know, sometimes people ask, what can I do? I'm getting older. There are a lot of things I can't do that I used to do. Folks, you can pray. And if you got the time and the willingness to do so, Lord is more than willing to listen to you and to those that you bring to Him. Appreciate you also, also for the cards and thoughts that you sent to her, to us. I mean, as I had mentioned here at Jerry's funeral, Maureen might have been married, 43 years now. First 23 years, my own mom was around. Last 20 years, she had passed away, and Maureen's mom was kind of my adopted mom. You're around somebody for 43 years, you kind of get attached to them. And I don't want to just tell stories all day long, but it's kind of amazing how this works. You know, I think we'd mentioned a few weeks before that we were down there for a wedding and we had it all lined up to go see her. And then 10 minutes before we got there, they called and said, you can't come. Somebody's tested positive and we have to lock the place down. And so we couldn't get in to see her. That was kind of our last opportunity to do so. But yet when it came time to clean out her apartment, they'd let us in. We had to have a little nose swab. I said, it's not that stick, is it? You know, that thing about that long. Scratches your brain to see if you got it or not. But we passed their little swab. And we didn't have a hat on. But we had masks and gloves and gowns just to walk through the place and haul out all of our stuff. It's a strange world we live in. Hopefully 21 will be a little bit better. So, this might be one of those, remember your parents talking about back in whatever year it was. Well, back in 20. Yeah. And you can tell them pretty much anything because it doesn't matter how bizarre it is. It probably really did happen. So, anyway, appreciate you also praying for the funeral on Friday night for Jerry. It had a full house, and many people came to pay their respects to him. Him and his wife had, when you got 7-8 kids, they have a lot of friends. A lot of friends came over to their house, ate at their table, and shared things with them. And so that it was kind of like their adopted mom and dad. And a lot of people came to see him. A lot of people unsaved. And so we had the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Probably the only funeral that they ever go to that they get an outline and a track. But anyway, we try to give them something to take home with them to look at. And they can check it out in their own Bibles. But might pray that some of that seed that was planted might take root. Some might come to know Christ as a result of that. Okay. One more sad story, and then we'll get into what we're talking about here today. Went to get some copies made up at the copy place. Got talking to the fellow. Known him for quite some time, and I somehow had mentioned that Maureen's mom had passed away, and we'd been to the funeral and stuff, and that I was running off outlines for Jerry's. And he said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe the story I have." And long story short, there's an older couple that have been coming into their copy place for 20 years. Just every couple of weeks, get some little thing copied. And you know, this guy's a talker, you know, and he does that with everybody. Well, they somehow got attached to him, and him and his wife liked him, and his wife, and so his wife passed away. And he wrote them a letter and said, "If you'd like to pay your last respects to my wife that passed away, you know, give me a call and I'll give you the time and place and everything." And he said that my wife usually doesn't check the mail every day. But she did. She saw this thing and opened it up and read it. And it was from this fellow. And I thought, wow, maybe we better call him. So they did. And he said, "Yeah, it's going to be such and such a time. It's going to be tomorrow." Wow. You know, and they got a business clothes sign for a while, and they run off. And it's at the cemetery. It's a kind of a graveside thing. And they get there, and there's nobody else there beside the two people from the funeral home and this old fella sitting on a chair. That was it. Can you imagine checking out of this life? And you have nobody other than some business acquaintance that would come to your funeral. You know, we take for granted sometimes the friendships that we have. They mean a lot, especially at times like that. And so it's a good time of the year to reach out to others and try to be a blessing in their lives. That's what we're studying on Wednesday night this last couple of weeks, is how to encourage one another. A lot of people out there, especially at Christmas, could use a little bit of encouragement. And, you know, one of these days we'll be on the receiving end of that. So, something to think about. Don't tell it to depress you, but just, there are people out there like that, that just kind of fall through the cracks. How can you go through life, you know, and be 80-some years old and not know anybody or be close enough to anybody to have people come to a funeral? Well, anyway, that's what's going on in the world. And so today we'd like to talk about something a little bit brighter than that. Why did God choose Mary? I don't know if that's the $64 question or not, but you know, Mary sometimes, she plays an important part in the overall, not just the Christmas story, but the birth and life of the Lord Jesus. And yet sometimes, you know how the pendulum swings from one to the other? And I won't get into all the reason or the background of that, but sometimes as Protestants, we tend to almost ignore Mary because the Catholics kind of overdo it. And I think they're mistaken in some of their doctrine on that end. But we don't want to ignore her. She's an important part of God's overall plan. And we can learn some things from her life. And a challenge to us as we look at this together is an outline. I think you got the brief one this week, okay? But today we want to look at why God chose Mary. And before we jump into the scriptures, share a little story with you. In the days back when there were fewer cameras, okay, everybody didn't have a cell phone with a camera in it, okay, or even have a camera. Not that many pictures were taken. But there was an evangelist, and he was out walking with some of his friends on a Saturday afternoon in Glasgow, Scotland. And he was carrying a little leather case, and it was in it was his Bible. But it also looked like what might be a camera. Some of you may remember little Kodak cameras, little leather case, you know, that it fits in. And so that's kind of the way it looked. And there's another group of young people coming towards the people that he was with. And they said, please take our photograph. And thinking that this was a little Kodak camera. And without a moment's hesitation, the evangelist said, well, I've already taken it. And kind of the speaker for the group said, well, when did you do that? You must have done that when we weren't looking. And the evangelist said, well, here, let me tell you about the picture. And he opened up his Bible and he read from Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 23. And he said, this is God's photograph of every one of us. And he concluded with these words there from Romans chapter 3:23, when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. And we see here that this was true of Mary as well. Now, some have put Mary up on this pedestal that she's, you know, never sinned and a perpetual virgin and so on. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. She, too, needed a Savior just like the rest of us. And though she had some outstanding qualities and very likely why Jesus or she was chosen to be Jesus' mother, she wasn't sinless. And she needed a Savior. In fact, we find this in Luke chapter 1 in verse 7. It says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And so she said, my Savior. She needed a Savior just again like the rest of us. Well, let's look at a few of these reasons why God may have chosen Mary to be the mother of the Lord Jesus. One was because of her pure character. Now, the Bible tells us there in Isaiah, it prophesied some 600 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus that he would be born of a virgin, and Mary fulfilled that quality. There in Luke 1:34, Mary's questioning the angel that's speaking to her and telling her about what all's going to happen, and being told that she's going to bear a child and that he's going to be a king. And she says, how's that possible since I've never known a man? Well, the word know in Scripture is not the same know as we understand it. We're thinking of something that's mental. And yet there it was talking about the sexual relationship. And Mary was pure physically. And that's how the Lord wants us to enter into marriage as well. And the thing is, I'm sure the Lord takes into account other situations that sometimes they pull this out, you know, for a reason for abortion or something, rape or incest or something. But the majority of that's not the reason why. It's because of poor choices that people make. And he wanted someone with a pure physically, as well as a pure heart, as we'll see here in a little bit. But we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, the thing is, he could have chosen anybody there within Israel and of David's line, as we'll see here later on. But he wanted to choose a pure one. And it tells us there, we see what the Lord was looking for. First of all, he tells us what kind of an offering he's looking for. And he says in Isaiah 66:20, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of the nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules. and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. So he's saying he wants the offering brought to them in a clean vessel. You know, it's kind of like some of you had a cup of coffee downstairs. And I think you probably, I got one that had a hole in it. It was leaking. Okay? But it was a clean cup to start with. We didn't save last week's cups, let them air dry out on the counter, and set them out there for you again. You go, I don't think so. Well, the Lord doesn't want us to, them to bring an offering in. Now, I've got a couple of old pans. They used to be kind of like the ones sitting down on the counter that you might cook a chicken or a small turkey or a ham or something in. They got kind of dinged up or something, and Maureen says, I don't want this anymore. I said, I'll take it. And I use it for oil. I change my oil. It goes into that pan. Fits just right. Pour it out, you know. Well, he didn't want us bringing in the old oil pan with an offering in it. Okay? Wanted a clean vessel. And so he also is looking for us as his children to be a clean vessel too. He wants a clean vessel that he can use. And again, not everybody filled that bill. He talked about in Scripture, Christ did, talking about the religious leaders of that day. They should have known better, but they weren't. He called them whitewashed sepulchres. He talked about they look good on the outside, but they're full of death and corruption on the inside, like an old dirty cup. The outside looks good, but inside it's all corruption. And he doesn't want that to be. We don't just clean up good to look good on the outside. We come to church, but full of sin within. He wants us to be pure within as well. He says in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now this was Ananias speaking to Paul after he got knocked off his ride there on the Damascus Road and led into town and left for 3 days blinded. And the Lord was working on his heart and mind as he had come face to face with the Lord Jesus. And he sent Ananias to restore his sight. And he says, he's a chosen vessel to me. And the thing was, Paul sought to keep his life pure. Now, it wasn't without sin. Up to that point, he was persecutor of Christians. And yet, God was able to cleanse away that sin, just as he's able to cleanse away whatever sin is in your life and mine. And he wants to make us a vessel that we can, that he can use. He says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now again, not all vessels are honorable. And yet God desires that we would keep our vessels, our hearts and mind and body, lives pure, to purge them, scrub out, get rid of the old junk out of our lives, the uncleanness. You know, nowadays, a lot of people are pretty germ conscious, you know, and they're squirting this stuff on their hand, you know. I'm thinking, okay, how long, I don't know how long we're going to have to do that, but they'll probably come out one of these days that there's going to be some health problems in this. Where did that come from? Remember all that junk you squirting on your hands, rubbing it, and smearing it all over you, you know, taking a bath in it? I'm not everybody does that, but some are close. And then this is a side thing, some rabbit trail, but you can see it almost happening. Our Marine sister-in-law works in a medical facility. She's a manager there, and she's with contact with doctors all day long. And one of them said to her one day, he says, you know, probably about 10 years from now, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. He says, yeah, what's that all about? He says, you know all those masks that people are wearing? They're going to be ingesting and inhaling an awful lot of fibers and all kinds of stuff. And it's going to end up in their lungs, and it's going to catch up with them. You know, I'm not trying to scare you out of wearing a mask, but, you know, sometimes it's like a prescription. You take this prescription, but then it causes some other side effect. It may not show up right away. Or the guys that play football, and you ding up your knee, and you get up, and you think you're okay. And then about 20 years later, you're, oh, can't get out of bed in the morning. What is it? Well, it finally caught up with us. Well, the thing is, God wants us to have pure vessels, to clean ourselves up, not to just let sin lay there. You know, it looks pretty good here now. Every once in a while, I'll leave a part of a cup of coffee, and not everybody that catches it. At first, there's get a bit of a film on the top of it. If you see that, don't drink it. That's why I brought my own up here today. But, you know, if it sits there long enough, it gets worse, you know. And the thing is, that's what happens in our lives. We kind of get used to letting sin lay there in our life. And God's saying, no, clean it out, purge it out. He wants a clean vessel. And he tells us one of the ways to do that there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. He says, flee youthful lusts. Lust is not just sexual things, but all kinds of desires that lead us into sin. He says, flee youthful lusts. Okay, let's say this is the sinful lust of some kind. You know, don't just see how close you can get to it without having it impact your life. Stay away from it. Kind of like, for some, man, he's got COVID. Ooh, you know, got to get it. Stay away as far as you can. Well, we need to do that with sin because it does have an impact on our lives. And he says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness and faith and peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. So how about it this morning as we look at and we're honest, we look in the mirror and we look at our hearts and lives and are we pure of heart and mind, body, soul? That's what the Lord wants. He wants us that way so he can use us to do the work that he wants us to do. And that's what he's looking for. That's what he was looking for in Mary's life. That's what he was looking for in your life and mine. Well, let's look on here and we see there's another reason that God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, because she was submissive to the will of God. Now, the angel was still speaking to Mary there in Luke chapter 1, verse 35 to 38. And it says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. See, she'd went way past childbearing age without children. Now God enabled her to become pregnant and was going to bear a child. That ultimately would be John the Baptist. But it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So just taking a look there at that verse 38, when she says, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, let your will be accomplished in my life just as you said it would. God wants us to be submissive to him and to his word, just like Mary was. She's not questioning his ability. You know, she said, basically, let your will be done in my life. There's no arguing, saying, well, I think you should have chosen my sister. You know, somebody else is better able to do this than mine, than me. Or I have plans in my life. You know, this is going to kind of disrupt my life. Or, you know, if I'm with child and I'm, you know, haven't married Joseph yet. What are the neighbors going to say? What are they going to think of me? What about my reputation? She's not asking any of this stuff. Said, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. Let your will be done. And God wants us to be willing to respond to Him and His Word in the same way. And there were others that did the old or the yes, but. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Lord. I know what your Word says, but. And then we come out with some kind of excuse why we can't do what God says that we're supposed to do. Moses did that. And he says, I can't talk. Well, okay, I'll send your brother in to help you out. Pretty soon we don't see much of Aaron or hear anything of him. It's Moses. He just needed that little push. Now, Jonah, God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, nah, I don't think so. He heads the wrong way. Well, God had that unique ability of turning Jonah's life around. Now, if Jonah were here today, I think he would probably tell us, if God tells you to do something, do it. Because sometimes it's a painful process to learn the hard way. Okay? And we don't have to do it the hard way. But Mary avoids that when she says, it's okay with me. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm here for you. And that's the kind of attitude that God wants us to have. Not a grocery list of all the reasons why we can't or don't feel like doing it or whatever. If He says something, do it. If He says do it, we do it. If He says give, we give. If He says, here, wait a little bit, then we wait a little bit. And or to be like Samuel. We haven't got to him in our Sunday school studies yet. But as he's growing up, he gets to the point where he's saying, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. So just tell me what you want me to do, Lord. And or as Nehemiah, there in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 29, I like what he says. It says to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and His judgments and statute. Observe and do. Seek to understand what God's Word is saying, and then do it. Okay? You'll never come up short doing what God wants you to do. And God's Word, God's will, His law, He wants us to obey it. You know, not him and haw and, well, we'll see how it works out maybe next week kind of sort of thing. No, he wants us to know what we're supposed to do and to do it. And again, he wants a pure vessel. He wants an obedient servant. And Mary was both of those. The question is, are we? We see a third reason that I believe that God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus because of her humility. We don't hear her being like the first century Muhammad Ali. And I realize that's before some of you guys' time. But remember old Muhammad Ali? What was it? I was trying to remember that last night. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest. You know, it was just intimidation of the guy he was going to box with. But Mary's out running around saying, hey, I'm God's chosen. And you're not. No. No, she's not doing that. And in Luke 1, it describes her as she's going to see her cousin Elizabeth. Again, who's going to be the mother of John the Baptist, forerunner of Christ. And there in Luke chapter 1, we won't read all these verses, but in 41 to 56, it talks about this. Two that we want to zero in on is verse Luke 1:46 says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And then she goes on into verse 48, and we hear her humility. She says, for he, talking about God, for he hath regarded the low estate or the position in life of his handmaid. God was well aware who Mary was. She was not one of the up-and-outers. She was just a girl of that day. As far as the totem pole goes, she wasn't very high up on it. Okay, importance in the people there in her city. And she, this word handmaid has the idea of a slave girl. And this is, in a way, she's expressing her obedience. A slave girl couldn't do just whatever she wanted to do. She had to do whatever her master told her to do. And she says, let it be according to thy word. Whatever you say is what I'm going to do. Let it happen just like you said. And it tells about her humble station in life. She knew where she fit into God's overall plan. God, you're in charge. I'm just here to do whatever you want me to do. And God loves a humble heart. He tells us other places in Scripture. He says in Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the idea is we humble ourselves. Matthew 23:12 says, whosoever shall exalt himself or lift himself up or become prideful shall be abased or brought low. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So how it works is God says, I want you to do the humbling. You humble yourself and God will do the exalting. You humble yourself, and if and when God chooses to exalt you, let him do it. We don't have to be tooting our own horn, bragging on ourselves. And we see this is what's happening here with Mary's life. She humbled herself before the Lord, sees herself as an obedient slave girl to the Lord. And ultimately, God exalts her above all women of all times. We see, on the other hand, there were those who exalted themselves, like King Herod. You know, people were worship him like a god. God took him out. He humbled him. And we see another instance of that as an example there in Luke 18. The publican and the sinner. Okay, the Pharisee, the religious leader of that day, and this tax collector, which in those days was at the bottom of the pole. Okay, there wasn't a whole lot lower than a tax collector. Okay, and it's not quite like nowadays, you know, where you send your money into the IRS. They got somebody knocking on your door and saying, pay up now, you know, and that was a tax collector. And you can see why people weren't very excited to have anything to do with a tax collector, because some of them were cheats. It wasn't, you know, it's like, okay, you collect the money and then you'll collect your salary at the end of the week. It's like, here's what we need from these people, and whatever else you can get from them, you can keep for yourself. So he's putting the squeeze on people. And so there, a lot of them are pretty dishonest, but that's another study. But here he's a tax collector. And we see here that says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican, as he points over to this guy. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went on to say, I tell you, this man, talking about the publican, the tax collector, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased or brought low, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so here's the tax collector with his head bowed, seeking forgiveness from God. The religious leader, he's thanking God that I'm glad I'm not like these other, you know, derelicts of some kind. Deplorables? Is that what we are? Sometimes I forget what I am. So, yeah, anyway. Well, anyway, the Lord declares the humble one righteous, and the other ones, he's saying, no. You know, you're not humbling yourself at all. Two more additional verses here that drive home the point, because again, humility is the opposite of what the world seems to look for nowadays. You fill out a resume, you're supposed to brag on yourself and see if you can't find a few other people that will brag on you too. And you know, you read this thing and it makes, you know, this guy must walk on water, you know, when they're all done. And yet, God says, no, we're supposed to humble ourselves. And God will lift us up. He says in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. But he says that's what he does to the proud. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. One more, he says, 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, here's an age thing. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. In other words, you put on humility like an item of clothing. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time or at the right time. And so if we want to receive God's grace, God's undeserved favor, we need to humble ourselves before him. Have we done so before the Lord? And we need to leave the exalting to the Lord and concentrate on our need to humble ourselves, as Mary did. And once we humble ourselves, that's our job. Okay? He doesn't say that we are to humble other people or to put other people down, put them in their place. You know? But you deal with the one that you're looking at in the mirror in the morning. Okay? We see here number four reason why God was chosen, or God chose Mary, was because she loved God and his word. There in Luke 1:49-55, he says, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and his holy name, and his mercy is on them that fear him. Fear him from generation to generation. He that showeth strength with his arms, he that scattereth the proud in the imagination of their hearts, he hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hoped his servant Israel, and remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. In this last verse here, it says, he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to the seed forever. God was speaking to them through his word. That meant something to her. You know, the Bible means different things to some people. Some people just see, hey, it's another book on the shelf. I had a fellow, and that's another story, but he was a police chaplain. And he said, yeah, because I asked him, well, how do you use the Bible? And, you know, when you're meeting with family of a policeman that was killed or injured or something, or somebody else. Well, I use it just like any other book. Huh? I'm glad I'm not having to work with that guy. How much hope is he going to give you? Oh, here, Huck Finn. Let's see what he has to say. No, I mean, you know, but it doesn't mean much of anything to people. But it ought to us. It did to Mary. And we see this in these verses. In verse 46, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. In verse 47, there's a spiritual reference when she says, in God my Savior. In verse 49, it says, he hath done great things for or to me. And it talks about her ancestors and God's word and the importance of it in their lives. She loved God. She loved his word. She desired to be obedient to his word. It gave her hope for the future. Do you have hope? When you get kind of down and discouraged, where do you turn? What do you turn to? The scriptures can be a source of great hope. For us as a family, for Maureen and I and her family, it was a great comfort, the scriptures, to look at verses that would tell us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, to read about the rapture. And one of these days, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord forever. That he's preparing a place for us. You know, words of hope. And I think, you know, as I shared a bit in the service for her mom, you know, what if instead of being Christians here, having trusted Christ alone for salvation, we were Hindus or something else? You know, and we're wondering if grandma's going to come back as a raven or a snake or a lizard. You know, what hope is that? You know, there isn't any. They have no hope. But in the Word of God, we have hope. And it's available to Mary. It's available to us. It gives us hope. And, you know, as crazy as 2020's been, you know, and who knows what's coming. You know, it's a good thing to know that the Lord's in charge, you know. Not everybody believes that. It's all up to them, you know. And I heard on the radio some time ago, a missionary, he was going to Ecuador. And they were asked, you know, why are you going to Ecuador? And he says, because the people love the Word of God. They're thirsty for the Word of God. They desire to know the God of the Bible. They want to worship Him. And many of them don't know that much about the Word of God, but they want to know more. They were excited about it. Whereas in contrast, here in America, it seems like there's a very large percentage of people that, even though we have access to the Bible, many sizes and shapes, and you can go to the dollar store and buy one, you know, how easy it is to get a hold of a Bible. And yet many cannot be bothered to open its pages. And it may be sitting on a shelf somewhere, but to open it up, to read it, to allow it to speak to your heart, to change your life, to give you wisdom and direction in knowing where to go, how to live. Thing is, Mary wasn't just a casual acquaintance with the Lord or His Word. She loved both of them. And the Lord loves those who love Him and His Word. And He wants to use them as His servants, even as He chose Mary as a servant. And then this last one, and there's probably many more, but we will stop at this point. But why God chose Mary, because she was of the royal seed of David. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Dalton went through some of that here with you here last week. The genealogy, the background of David and others in the life of the Lord Jesus. But there was a prophecy that was given way back in Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah 23:5 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will raise unto David a righteous branch and a king that shall reign and prosper." He's talking about branch, and that king is that of the Lord Jesus. "And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Now here in Luke 3, it gives quite a list of heritage, background of King David, and ultimately that of Mary. But he sums it up in one sentence in John 5:42. He says, "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Again, there were many people that were descendants of David. Many women in that line as well that God could have chosen. But He was looking for one, I believe, as we've seen the scriptures, one of pure character, one who was submissive to the will of God, one who was humble in spirit, and one who loved Him and His Word. Lord's still looking for people like that today, people that He can use as a vessel here and now today to be His hands and His feet, to reach out to other people with the gospel. You know, we think we're a pretty sophisticated people, and in an age in which we live, you know, all the electronics and bells and whistles. But, you know, there's still an awful lot of people out there walking around today that have no clue what's going to happen to them when they die. They got some ideas, but most of them aren't bound in Scripture, you know. And people believe a lot of things because it sounds good. I still kind of cringe when I see on TV there's a commercial, I think it's for tunnels and towers,
But it's one of those, you know, that Daddy died. And it was so hard for her to tell her children that today Daddy became an angel. Well, that might make her feel good and the kids feel good, but it's not accurate. It's not true, you know. Angels are angels. People are people. We don't start switching in between somewhere, okay? But we do have the opportunity to go to heaven. And the thing is, you know, as God's looking for these different qualities in our hearts and lives, and we look at our life and we look at the scriptures and we say, okay, what needs to change? What in my life needs to change in order that God can effectively use me because I'm a clean vessel that he can use? You know, more often than not, we know what needs to be changed. The question is, do we want to do it? And one of these days we're going to be face to face with Jesus and have to answer that question. I trust we make the right decision now. Why wait? And the best is yet to come. God's got our best interests at heart. You know, we don't know what's going to happen from day to day around here. You know, what new edict is going to come down from above? You know, and but God knows all the way through. It's not going to take him by surprise at all. We need to be ready when that trumpet sounds. We need to be ready if the Lord chooses. The clock is, you know, 11:59 and 59 seconds. Ding. And we're out of here. It's too late to make any decisions then. We got to make the decisions to trust Christ and follow him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and its truth. And it's exciting to be in the Christmas season, and we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus, and yet we know ultimately he came to die on a cross to be our Savior, to provide salvation for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that if there be any here today that have never come to that point where they've seen their sin in need of a Savior, and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive their sins and to give them that gift of eternal life, they might soon be prompted to do so. Lord, we pray that you'd prompt us as those who've made that decision to tell other people. There's a lot of people in the world that they don't know how they're going to get out of this alive. They don't know how they're going to make it through this world or what's going to happen if and when they die. Lord, we've got the answer. Kind of like saying we got the cure for cancer, but we're keeping it all to ourselves. Now, we need to tell people. Doesn't mean they're all going to jump up and down and get excited and give us a big hug because we tell them the Bible tells us we're sinners. That's kind of offensive, but it's true. We need to realize there's a problem before we're going to realize that we need a solution. And Jesus is the solution. It's more than just some reason. Jesus is the reason for the season and that sort of thing. No, he's the Savior. And we all need him. We pray that you'd help us to look at Mary and to look at our own hearts and lives, to ask ourselves maybe some of these same questions. Could this be said of me? Am I of humble heart? Am I willingly submissive to God's will and his word in my life? And then be honest about it and be willing to make the changes needed. We thank you for what you'll accomplish in our lives today and the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, if you would, please. Actually, another Christmas song. How about 145? Oh, come, all ye faithful. 145. Would you stand and sing with me? Close today. Thank you.
For those who are part of this secret, what was it?
Secret
agent. Anyway, there's a note there for you. There's some gifts out there from your secret partner through the year, and I guess it's a reveal day or something like that. So, anyway, you find out who it is, and but be sure to check that, see if there's something there for you. There's Christmas tracts out there, again. We're not trying to just see how many of these we can save till next year. You can go over somewhere to eat, buy gas, whatever, take them with you, give it to them, and encourage them to read it. There's a little devotional there, a little booklet. It's kind of like the Daily Bread, only it's kind of all geared for Christmas. You might give that to people to encourage them to read that as well. All right, don't forget your goodies downstairs, okay? I'm bubbled to be out to here. Got to check out. Oh, that's what I want to say. Okay. Too many things to remember and not all written down. Let pray. Okay. Two things. One, Maureen goes to the doctor tomorrow for her eyes, and hoping to find out that there's something they can do to fix whatever it is that's still in there that's causing her problems to see. And appreciate that. And then also be praying for Mark Porter. He's kind of kept this under wraps because he's been trying to talk himself out of that. He's listening, Mark. But he's had to go today for a COVID test. And then he's supposed to quarantine himself between now and Wednesday, in which he's supposed to have shoulder surgery. And he might be listening, so I won't say any more about that. But if you know somebody's had shoulder surgery, pray for them, okay? For the surgery, for the recovery, and I don't know if he does fast pitch or whatever else he does, but he'd be in good shape when that's done, okay? All right. I think I'm remembering everything. If not, check your emails. You get one this afternoon with the rest of the story. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, the fact that we can be here together, alive, in person, and to praise your name, to rejoice in the coming of the Savior. The Lord saw our greatest need was a Savior, and he sent one to us, just what we needed. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be a good mouthpiece to tell others that they too need a Savior, and Jesus is the answer to that. Pray you give us safety as we go to our homes now, and that we might keep our eyes on you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming.